Isn't that what the French say? Without any further ado.
It's English only, I'm afraid, this morning. So
Is there a
we're learning halachas of Meis Mitzvah. So we saw that somebody who's on his way to Makriv a Korban Pesach or do a Bris Milah, and he has to attend to a Meis Mitzvah, he may do so, even though he may not be metame for kroivim, but he may be metame for a Meis Mitzvah. And the question was, how so? We are dealing over here with a mitzvah d'oraisa, and how on earth can the issue of kavod habrius, which is what a Meis Mitzvah is all about, how can the issue of kavod habrius be waived, b'doicha and issa d'oraisa, mitzvah d'oraisa of Pesach and Mila? That was the big question. Now, we began on Thursday explaining the answer, even though we didn't see this lengthy Rashi that we're about to see right now. Remember, very, very important, in order to truly appreciate the Gemara's answer and this lengthy Rashi, we must not forget how this sugya started. The sugya started when we talk about kilayim, shatnas. Somebody is wearing a beged of shatnas and he suddenly realizes it's shatnas. He obviously didn't know when he put it on, but he does now. He's got to remove it, even at the expense of kavod habrius. Why? Because we're dealing with an issa d'oraisa. Which is the deraisa, the issue of shatnas. So that's where we founded our principle that kavod habrius, as important as it is, and it is important, but it cannot knock out a deraisa. And that's when we evoke the pasuk of ein chochma ve'ein tvuna, etc., etc. So that's what we're going to call case number one. Case number one is kilayim. Now we saw many other cases along the way. You'll remember the case of jumping over the Tumah and the two paths of Tumah, Pras, etc., etc. The bottom line was all of those were Darabonons. So that's why Kavod Habrius can indeed override the Darabonon. We also did see one case of Deraisa, which was Hashavas Aveda. Now, Hashavas Aveda was a Deraisa. And yet it says, if it's a Zokein, Ve'ena Lefi Chvoidoi, it's unbefitting for him to have to drag this Aveda through the streets, then he's potter from doing so. So that does override a deraisa. And the Gemara says, indeed it does, but there's a special precedent because there's a mefurish pasuk with regard to Hashavas Aveda, and we cannot learn from there. That cannot become the rule because that's dealing with issues of mamoin. And mamoin is always more lenient. So for the moment, we still retain the rule that Kavod Habrius will not be able to knock out a deraisa. This is now where we get stuck, because here we're seeing that for the purposes of a Meis Mitzvah, you can attend to the Meis Mitzvah, even though you're losing out on a deraisa, and this is what we're going to call case two. So basically, we seem to have a head-on collision between case one and case two. Case number one is kilayim, where we say that you have to forego kavod habrius. And case number two, the case of the Meis Mitzvah, where you can attend to the Meis Mitzvah for purposes of kavod habrius, even though it's at the expense of a deraisa. So that's the steer. So you'll remember on Thursday, the way we ended up was we distinguished between a shev va'al ta'aseh and a kum va'aseh, a distinction that we find in many, many areas, but this is one of them, that we can easily or more easily override a deraisa when it is doing so passively, as opposed to when you're doing so actively. So the classic example we gave was that Chazal told us we do not shake a lulav or blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot is on Shabbos. They are overriding a deraisa, but they are doing so b'shev v'al ta'aseh, because you are simply not shaking the lulav. You are simply not listening to the shofar. Not doing so is not considered a kum va'aseh. It's considered a shev v'al ta'aseh, as opposed to kilayim. Kilayim is considered an act Ktiv Aveira. You're putting on and wearing the beged. That's considered kum va'aseh. And that is where Kavod HaBrios will not override the Doraisa. We cannot allow you to wear a beged, which is a positive act, even at the expense of Kavod HaBrios. And what about, that's case number one. So what about case number two, when you're being metameh to a meis mitzvah? Ultimately, even though when you're metameh to a meis mitzvah, of course, that's an act. But what is the mitzvah Doraisa that we are talking about? Pesach and Mila. Ultimately, it means you are not doing the Korban Pesach. You are not doing the Bris Mila. So if that's the case, that's considered Shev Va'al Taaseh. That's why the Kavod HaBrios, the Meis Mitzvah, will allow you to override Pesach and Mila. Now, this is a little bit confusing because even though technically you are doing so by a physical act of becoming Tomei to the Meis Mitzvah, but that doesn't matter because we're not dealing with that aspect. We're dealing with the Doraisa that you are losing out on at the end of the day. Which Doraisa are you losing out on? Pesach and Mila. And there it is B'Shev Va'al Taaseh. You are simply not doing the Bris Mila. You are simply not doing the Korban Pesach. But you are doing an Aveira of Shatnas. Now let's have a look at Rashi. I think without introduction, this Rashi will be fairly straightforward reading. By the way, maybe just one tiny point of introduction as well to this Rashi. Let's not forget how we began this Liachosai discussion. When somebody is a Nazir or a Kohen, who's not normally allowed to become Tomei, but he is for a Meis Mitzvah. He is for a Meis Mitzvah. Now, that clearly is a Kumba Asei. He's becoming Tomei when he's not allowed to. A Kohen cannot become Tomei. A Nazir cannot become Tomei. And yet here he is, Bekum Ba'aseh. So how can that be allowed? And the answer will be, fine, but that's different because we have a specific pasuk to teach us that. La'oviv, le'imoy, la'ochiv, etc., etc. With those points in mind, we'll see, Rashi will discuss further. Let's have a look at the second Rashi in the top of Daf Chof Amud Aleph. And it says, Shev Va'al Taaseh Shayni. Literally translated, Shev Va'al Taaseh, when you're sitting and not doing Va'al Taaseh, Shani, that's different. That is what we call passive as opposed to active. And therefore, it's definitely more room for leniency. Says Rashi. Says Rashi. Devarim Rabim. There are several matters, hetiru, that they permitted, who's they? Obviously, Chazal, la'akor, to uproot, devar Torah. On several instances, on several occasions, we find that Chazal allowed you to be oiker a devar Torah, to literally uproot something from the Torah. Why so? Mipnei siog. What does a siog mean? A fence. The very first mission in Ovos, a siog la Torah. They did so as a fence, as a guarding for the Torah. Or, in our particular sugya, umipnei kavod habrius, or because of human dignity, with a common denominator being Chazal HaKadoshim, in their wisdom, considered both of these great necessities. That's the common denominator. We don't decide what's a necessity, Chazal do, and they considered either a siyog. What does a siyog mean? A fence. Remember, why don't we shake lulavam, blow shofar when it's on the first day Shabbos? It's a siyog. It's a fence we don't want people to carry in the street. That was considered a great necessity, and so too, Kavod HaBrios is considered a great necessity. And under those circumstances, indeed, Chazal say, you could be oiker a dova min ha-Torah. So So mipnei siyag or mipnei kavod abrius, they can be oiker dvar Torah, as long as, says Rashi, heicha, where the einoi oiker dovor, where they are not being oiker, not uprooting anything, b'maisa yodayim. Those are the key words. As long as they are not being oiker with any active physical act, you're dying with your hands. You're not actively being oiker. So remember, Chazal will never say that we'll allow you to eat nevela. They'll never tell you that you can be mechalal Shabbos. We're not talking, obviously, about pekuach nefesh. Why? Because whatever the need, and whatever, even if it's considered a great necessity, but to go and be mechalal Shabbos, that's something which is active. To eat nevela is active. To not shake lulav and not blow shofar is passive. So if it is not being oiker dovah b'maaseh yodayim, if it is not with a physical act, rather elo yoshev b'mkoymoi, rather he is just merely, as it were, sitting on his place, v'dvar Torah ne'ekar me'elov, and the dvar Torah becomes uprooted on its own. What does that mean, on its own? In a passive way. If you don't blow shofar, then I haven't actively been oiker dvar Torah. Just the fact that I didn't blow means that the dvar Torah is ne'ekar me'elov. And that's the example of Rashi. Kagoin tekiyas shofar. For example, tekiyas shofar. Example number one, we do not blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. The lulav as well, the Shabbos. The sodim betzitzis. Sodim betzitzis is a whole chashash of Chazal. Under some circumstances, they told you not to put on tzitzis on a beged. We're not going to get involved in the whole case, but the bottom line is, again, not putting on tzitzis is once again passive. Says Rashi, uddichvosaihu, and similarly, tuva, many. Many other cases. Rashi has given us three examples, lulav, shofar, and tzitzis. But Rashi says, be rest assured, uddichvosaihu, tuva. And similar to these, there are, in fact, many other cases, biyavomais, that we learn in the vomais, daf, tzadi, omad, base. That's the introduction. Says Rashi, Avol, Ma'aker b'yodayim loy koma. But to be oiker b'yodayim, for Chazal, even when there is great necessity under extenuating circumstances, not pikuach nefesh, to be oiker b'yodayim loy, that Chazal do not have the right, Torah given right, to uproot a dvar Torah. That is the end of Rashi's introduction, clearly making distinction between Shev Ba'al Taisa, which is passive, and Kum Ba'asei, a Maisa B'yodayim, which is active. Now that Rashi has made that introduction, everything slots neatly into place. V'haloi Veish Kilayim, that was case number one, Oikroi B'maisa Mamish. There, that would be considered being oiker with an absolute act. Why? Shehu loiv shoyi, because he is wearing it. And wearing a beged is considered active. So now we understand, that's why Chazal cannot uproot that particular deiraisa, because the kumba asay, to tell you wear a beged of kilayim, that's considered a maisa biyadayim, and they cannot do that. Now, v'tumas gufei. This was the in-between case before you get to number two. In the case of becoming tomei for when? Shehutra l'koyen ulanozir litamei. Remember, a koyen, Nozim are allowed to become Tomei for Krovim. That's what we learned from Eis Mitzvah. That's what we learned. La'oviv, Lehimoi, Laochiv, a Nozir, or a Nozir Kohen, or a Nozir Kohen Gadol, they are allowed to become Tomei. Now, even though that's a Maisa B'Yodayim, they're permitted to become Tomei Lemeis Mitzvah, the Koma Aker B'Yodayim. And surely that is an active act. How are they allowed to do that? And the answer is Mipnei Kovod Abrius. V'lav Sheva Al Taisu? Question mark. And surely that is not Sheva Va'al Taisa. Becoming Tomei for a Meis Mitzvah, when a Kohen and Nozi are not allowed to become Tomei, is not passive, that's active. So how can I be allowed? Says Rashi, Hainu Taima. The reason is, there is a specific pasuk, but why does that not become the rule? The loy gomrinon mine. Do you know why we do not learn from there? As a general rule, perhaps that should be a source that you can even wave a deraisa kum va'ase. Says Rashi, no. The hosam lav mishum kovoid habriyos hu the dochi loy sa'ase didor koma. There, it is not because that Kavod HaBrios is doicha. Kavod HaBrios is not overriding anything. Rather, the Me'ikora, right from the outset, Kishenichtav Loisase de Tuma, when the original Loisase of Tuma was given to us, Loi Almeis Mitzvah Nichtav. It was never ever given with regard to Meis Mitzvah. Meaning, when a Nozir was initially told, do not become Tomei. Do not become Tomei. Is that a general rule? No. For example, a Kohen is told, do not become Tomei. Is that a general rule? No. Because as we well know, a Kohen is allowed to become Tomei for the seven craving. That was simply not included in the initial Issa. It's not being Doicha. That's not considered uprooting the Issa. Rather, it was never included in the Issa in the first place. Neither was Meis Mitzvah. And that's what Rashi says. Keshem Shaloi Nichtav Ala Kravim. In the same way as Tuma was never ever prohibited with regard to craving. The accurate way of explaining is not to say that for the seven craving you're allowed to be oik the issue of Tuma, but rather it was never asad in the first place. Neither was Meis Mitzvah. So therefore you cannot bring that as a precedent for Kavod HaBrios being doich. It wasn't doich anything. It was never included in the first place. Avol, says Rashi in conclusion, Hashova Savedor, remember that previous case, Upesach and Mila, Lechol Yisrael Nemar. That was given as a general rule. Everybody is obligated to be Makriv Korban Pesach. The Eitzel Kavod HaBrios. And with regard to Kavod HaBrios, Nitnu Lidchois. It was being allowed to be pushed away. How come? The answer is Sheval Taisa. Al Korcho Hainu. It must be because the dechioson, it's pushing aside, is eino biodayim, is not in an active way, elo biyeshivosoi, rather by sitting and doing nothing, tidche hamitzvah, the mitzvah we pushed away. I'm just simply not doing the Pesach and not doing the Mila. Avol kilayim, Rashi now goes back So case number one, in the case of kilayim, the b'maisa yodov, there it really is with your active hands, that yidcha hazohir ba'azorosay. There you are trying to actively push aside the azhara, the issa, that cannot be allowed. And that is the end of the sugya. So Rashi is explaining that the Gemara is making a very clear distinction between kumba asay and sheva al taisa. And therefore it turns out, in the final analysis, if we were to sum up, under what circumstances can covered abriyas allow you to be over an issa? And the answer is either a derabbanan or a doiraisa b'shev v'al taisa. Example, Pesach, Mila, Shavas Aveda. But if it's a kumba asay, then it cannot override. Example, kilayim. We did see several examples of derabbanans, however, that were waived. If you remember, we had the person who was coming back from the levaya, walking down a beis hapras, which is a tumah derabbanan, and you may follow him. We had a case of when he jumped over the kever, which, because it turns out that it wasn't really tumah, it was tumah ritzutza or tumah etc., etc. We had Rashi mentioned in passing, if somebody finds himself in a bathroom on Shabbos and he needs to wipe himself, clean himself, he may be metaltal mukta. Again, there's an issur derabbanan waived for covered abrius. So as a general rule, derabbanans can be overridden for covered abrius. Whereas when it comes to deraisas, we always have to make the distinction of between kumba asay, Akilayim, and Sheva Al Taisa, Pesach, Mila, and Ashava Saveda. And that's the end of the sugya. Now, it's not quite the end of the sugya, because I'd like to see at least part of Tosfos in Daf Yud Tes on the base, the bottom Tosfos. Now, you'll remember that we began discussing this last week, and now we're going to try and just close up this point. We had a pasuk with four words in it: la'aviv, le'imoy, la'achiv, and la'achosei, and they all seem to be redundant. Why were they redundant? Remember, those psukim, those words, are written with regard to nozir, and the Torah writes that a nozir should not become tomei al kol nefesh meis, for any dead body. And then it says la'aviv, le'imoy, etc., etc. Why does it have to spell that out? You already told me. Do not become tomei for any dead person, including a parent, including a sibling. And that's why we use each pasuk to teach us, but on occasion it's mutar. A nozir for a meis mitzvah. A nozir koyein for a meis mitzvah. A nozir koyein godoil for a meis mitzvah. And then we arrive at the grand finale. What do we do with la'achosei? So we said, there's talking about Pesach and Mila. Now, if you remember, we said that Tosfos pointed out that Pesach and Mila is also a progression. We are talking about somebody who is a nozir, koyein, godol, on the way to doing the Pesach. So it's a progression. Nozir, case one. Nozir koyin case two, nozir koyin godol case three, and nozir koyin godol doing a Pesach is case four. If that's the case, then it turns out that the way that you must read the Gemara is as follows: that if a nozir koyin godol is on his way to doing a Pesach, and he hears that one of his relatives has passed away, then lo yitamo, he may not become tomei. But if it's for the purpose of dealing with a meis mitzvah, then he may become tomei. And if you remember this opening line of Tosas we saw last time, if you're telling me that a Nozir Kohen Gadol cannot become Tomei for one of his relatives on the way to doing a Pesach, then the implication is, if it would be a regular person who's not a Nozir, he's not a Kohen, certainly not a Kohen Gadol, and he's on his way to doing a Pesach, then he would be allowed to attend to the Levaya of one of his relatives, even at the expense of Pesach and Mila. That seems to be the inescapable conclusion, because you're telling me that the only person who may not do so is the super Kodesh person, Nozir Kohen Gadol. But a regular person is on his way to doing the Pesach or the Mila, and he suddenly hears that one of his seven craven have passed away, he may become Tomei, even though that will then mean that he cannot be Makriv a Korban Pesach. With that, now let's see Tosfos at the bottom of Yud Tes on the base. Omrak lo yitamo mpnei shekoi, because this is referring to who? Al Adam shehu nozir v'koyin gadol. He is both a Nozir and a Kohen Gadol, and also Va'isa Pesach, period. So he is the super duper whammy Kedusha. Now, says Tosfos, Mashma, the implication of the Gemara seems to be the Va'isa Pesach Greida. If you are merely being Makriv Korban Pesach, greater means merely. If you are merely being Makriv Korban Pesach, what does that mean, merely? You're not a Kohen. You're not a Nozir, you're just a regular person. Then it sounds like Rashoi, you'd be permitted, Letame, Lekravim. Then you would be allowed to Metame to Kravim, even though you're going to lose out your Korban Pesach as a result. Only a Kohen Nozir cannot, but a regular person may. Says Tosfos, if that's true, we get stuck. The Tamer, there's a big kasha. The Bezvachim, the Gemara says, Gabba Maisa, the Yosef HaKohen. Yosef HaKohen, Shemeso Ishtoi. His wife passed away be'erev Pesach. Now he's a Kohen. U'betamuhu ochiv ba'al korchoch. And his brother forced him to become Tomei. His brother paskened that you must become Tomei to take care of your wife, even though you're a Kohen, and even though you're going to lose out on the Korban Pesach. That was the end of the story. U'porich. And the Gemara there asks, how could he possibly be allowed to do so? Miha Braisa de Hocha. What about our Braisa that over here says the Ka'omar lo yitame, period. So the Gemara there tells you a story. The Gemara asks Akasha, how could he possibly become Tame? But we have a Braisa in Brachas of Yutes on the base that tells you that lo yitame. Does Tosfos then understand? Umay porich. What's the big question? Dilma shani hocha. Maybe over here is different. You know why you can't become Tomei? De mairi de kol kedusha isaelu boy. We're talking about somebody who is a kohen gadol nozir. He's wearing three hats at the same time. If you're wearing three hats at the same time, then you cannot be metamei to kravim. But Rabbi Yosef HaKohen was neither a Kohen Gadol, nor was he a Nozir. So the brother, by forcing him to become Tomei L'chaira, did the right thing. So how can the Gemara there ask, why did he become Tomei? It says, lo yitamo. But maybe lo yitama only refers to when you have all those kedushas, you're wearing three hats, and Rabbi Yosef HaKohen was not. Kedaprishes, avol oisa pischoi greida, But if he's merely doing his Korban Pesach and he's not wearing all three Kadosh hats, Eima let us say, Rasho'i letamoi, he is allowed to become Tomei. And if he is allowed to become Tomei, so why is the Gemara so concerned in Zvachim? What's the Kasha? Al-Kain Nire Lefarish, says Tosis, therefore I'm forced to explain that when we say Omrit, Lo Yitamo, quote unquote, apparently it must be Afilu Oisa Pischoi Greda. Apparently, we see from that Gemara that even if you are merely doing your Korban Pesach and you are not necessarily a Kohen Gadol Nozir, it's still Osa to become Tomei. And that was the Gemara's question in Zvachim. So how did Rabbi Yosef HaKohen, why did his brother make him become Tomei? You're not allowed to become Tomei for the sake of craving if you're losing out the Pesach. Vim Toma says, Tosis, okay, but how did you know that? Mehecha pshita lei omrit lo yitamo. So how indeed do we know that that's pshat in the Pasuk in lo yitamo? That you may not become Tomei because you're going to lose out the Pesach. So what? How do you know that's pshat in the Pasuk? V'yesh loimaka the Pirish Rashi. As Rashi explained for us, very simply, because Pesach is so severe, the loy osi asei she'im boi kores, an asei without kores cannot come along. Ketumas kroivim, the yidche cannot come and push away asei she'yesh boi kores, going oisa Pesach, v'gam mila shayach bo kores. So that's why, even though under ordinary circumstances, as we know, a kohen is allowed to become Tomei for Krovim, but not at the expense of Pesach. Why? As Rashi explained, because Pesach and Mila is a mitzvah sheyesh bo kores. Vim Tomas is Tosas, fine, but Hosam de Porech al Maisa de Yosef HaKohen, over there that the Gemara was querying the story of Yosef HaKohen, Mino le Talmudei da'ocha, Mairi ba'oisa Pesach l'chud. How indeed did the Gemara know that even if you're merely wearing one hat, you're just losing out the Pesach? How do we know that that itself is the subject? Maybe only if you're wearing three. Yesh loimar, midaloi kail, because it was not included. Gaba oisa pischoi kmoi gaba acherim, mishoy onozi v'koyen hedyoit. Why did the Gemara, remember Lashon of the Braisa? The Lashon of the Braisa says, if somebody is doing his Pesach, it did not include, it did not state that we're talking about a Kohen who's a Nozir. And therefore we understand that who are we talking about? Even a regular person. Demikara, nokat Nozir, lechud. Firstly, we mention a Nozir. V'acharkach nozir koyein, nozir v'koyein hediyot. Remember, we go up stage by stage. And yet when you get to the last case, the Gemara did not say that's a progression. So therefore, clearly it must be talking about a regular person. It's talking about a regular person. Now, if it's talking about a regular person, it means we're not dealing with a nozir. So why is that strange? Because where was the pasuk of la'achosei written? In the pasuk of Nozir, says Tosfos Vim Toma Minah Leila Talmuda. How did the Gemara know? The High Krah Ba'Oisa Pesach for Lomel Es Benoi. What's going on? Ha Krah Ksiv Benozir. But surely this pasuk is written within the context of Nozir. V'Yesh Loimah. If you remember, this is what Rashi taught us. Im Einoi Inyan Benozir. Remember, we had the rule of Im Einoi Inyan. But if it has no relevance within the context, then we have no other choice but to apply it, even not within the context. Imeinu inyan banozim, toksivi psukim acherim, demetame b'meis mitzvah. We cannot remain within the parasha of Nozir because we have plenty of psukim within Nozir to teach us about a base mitzvah. So for no other choice, tenehu inyan, I will give it relevance, lahoylech, lishchait, pischait, etc. We're going to hold this Tosas over here. So it turns out, Tosas tells you in conclusion that case number 1, 2, and 3 are indeed progressions, Kohen, and then Kohen Nazir, and then Nazir Kohen Gadol, but case number 4 is not a progression. Anybody who's on his way to Makriv the Korban Pesach cannot become Tomei. Why? Because Pesach is considered so severe, because it carries Kores, that one cannot become Tomei. Okay, Emet Hashem, tomorrow, before continuing, we're going to go back and do a little bit of Chazara, because this is quite a complicated sugya, and then Be'ez Hashem will continue the Gemara towards the Mishnah.
Yisher koach.
Have a great day, everybody.
Have a good day.